Hebrews chapter 11. I didn't know whether we'd changed from family month or not, and so I sort of assumed that we hadn't, even though we've changed months. So we're going to do a little bit of a study on Abraham and Sarah's faith. So considering them as parents and the example that they were to Isaac and the generations after them, and even to us now, I felt that they're a good example for us to consider tonight. So, we're in Hebrews 11. Sorry, I should have said our text is going to be from 11, 8 to 16. But we do want to actually start reading in Hebrews 10, verse 38. So, we're going to read from verse 38 to verse 39. And it says here, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Let's stop there for a moment. Let's pray and we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time. Lord, I just pray that you just help me, Lord, to explain these thoughts, Lord, you've laid on my heart. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this time. Encourage us now, Lord. And Lord, thank you now for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This year with youth group has probably struck me more than it has for a while. I guess I've gotten used to the fact of working with kids and parents, kids that have lost parents, and kids that have parents of, if they are even saved, is such a hidden salvation, is such a dim light that you can't even tell that they're saved. You only got their word to go for it. And I've sort of gotten used to used to that over the last couple of years. This last couple of weeks, though, sort of really brought to life what it would be like, or what it is like, for these kids to grow up with families with mums and dads that aren't examples to them of the faith, and aren't examples of encouragement to them, and don't help and push and teach them the things of God's word, and don't live the principles that they would like the kids to live by. And it has been sort of just a wake-up call for me this last couple of weeks. So looking here at Abraham and Sarah, how they both led their family by faith, and we see here, like we've just read, in verse 38, that says, "Now the just shall live by faith." The word "just" there is referring to Christians, to believers. The believers shall live by faith. That's a pretty bold. That is a pretty self-explanatory statement. It's not. There's no real room for movement in that. Christians live by faith. They shall live by faith. The things that they believe and they hold to. That's how they need to live by. We see that God has no pleasure in those that don't live by faith. Now, that could potentially be, there's two different groups we could say. There are people that don't believe in God at all, and he's not pleased in the way that they're living. He's not pleased in a way a lost person refuses to follow and to obey God. Even though they may actually believe that God exists in their heads, but they don't believe it in their hearts. The two different types of groups here. We have people that believe in God in their heads and in their hearts. Then we have people that believe God in their heads, and that's as far as their faith goes. They believe in God's existence, but not in him as their own God, as their own Savior. So God is not pleased when a lost believer turns their back on God. He's not believed in that. He's not pleased in the way that they are turning from him. He's not pleased when a Christian turns their back on God. We see that. "But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." When we draw back from God, when we shrink, if you could say, our faith in God. There are many reasons why a believer can hide their light, dim their light and their faith, and so that they're not a bright testimony to the world around them. There are reasons why they want to disappear under the carpet as such. They might be through pressure, family pressure, friend pressure, peer pressure, I should say, people making fun of them about why they believe in God and trusting in God, persecution for their faith, fear in general. There are reasons why a believer may want to hide and diminish their faith in God so that people can't tell that they are a believer, a Christian. But God says he's not pleased with that way for a person to live their life. Verse 39, it says, "But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition." The writer of Hebrews makes the comment here is that of these two groups, he's not identifying in the ones that have turned away from God and that are hiding their faith or just pushing their faith away and not even believing in God anymore. But he's of the group that live by faith, that continue for the Lord, that are bold in their witness and in their beliefs in God. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition. We don't draw back to the way we were saved from and the place we came from and what God has done for us. We don't want to be in that group. But we want to be one of them that... We want to be of the group that believe to the saving of our soul. When people see us, they know and identify us as true Christians, faithful Christians, bold testimonies. Our testimony is one that when people see it, they are encouraged and uplifted and pointed to God and pointed to Christ. And in Hebrews 11, we read of many of these people, male, females, men and women, young and old, who were faithful in serving the Lord, no matter what was going on about them, no matter how much pressure their family and friends put on them, they stood for the Lord and remained faithful in serving Him. And because of it, God wrote a good report about them. That's what it says in verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. We want to be of the group that God gives the thumbs up for. We want to be in the group that God says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." The group that I know it'd be impossible for me to ever have my name put on this list in Hebrews, but I'd like to think that maybe I could be in the running one day. If God ever rewrote Hebrews in the millennium or in heaven, I want to be in that group. That's the group I need to be in. That's not the ones that are turning and drawing back and shrinking away and hiding. So we have these two groups, and this is where we see Abraham and his wife Sarah, and we see their faith. So let's read from verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all die in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And we'll stop there. So Abraham, a man of faith, an example of faith. And we've been teaching through this chapter to our teenagers at youth group, and have been talking about our heroes of the faith. And Abraham certainly is one. And Sarah is too. Someone that... is an example that and has, their character is one that we would want to copy. Their lifestyle, the way that they loved and served the Lord, is something that we'd want to be encouraging. Parents, you'd want to be encouraging your children. We want to be encouraging those that we can influence and say, take Abraham as an example of a faithful man of faith, and Sarah as a faithful woman of God. God, we are familiar with Abraham's story, but let's go to Genesis 12. Genesis chapter 12. God gave Abraham and Sarah several promises. Now, faith is something that we, when we have faith in something, is it's either something that is future that hasn't happened yet, or it's in, we have faith in something that we can't see. So it might be something that's going to happen, like a promise that God has given to, God gave to Abraham. Promises, Lauren's laughing at me because she knew I just stole that definition from Pastor. Anyway. That's all right. It's, yeah. Josh, you can use it next. But faith is, so Abraham and Sarah, God gave them promises for something that's going to happen for them in the future, something that they couldn't see yet, but they could, I've got to say this right, they could see it in the future, in the distance in their, of their lives, but they had to trust the Lord for these promises that he gave them. Where are we? Genesis 12. I've written down four promises here. Now, I might be wrong, and there might be more, but I know that there's at least four in the first three verses of Genesis chapter 12. So I'll read them. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So I've written down four promises. Let's do a pop quiz. Let's see what are they. Who has an idea? Lauren has... Grandma, you didn't put your hand up. Lauren put her hand up. I will bless thee. Okay, but yep. Look, what Grandma said, I'll make of thee a great nation. What's the next one? So there's a promised land. Yeah, he's a great nation. God promised that he's going to, and we see that promise in Genesis 15 when God again promises to Abraham that his descendants are going to be like the stars and like the sand of the sea and, you know, without number. But yes, we have also a great land unto thee, unto a, I will take thee and I'll put thee in the land, basically. Cam's hop. Anyway, what's the other, what's the, there's another two that I can see there. Tracy? Yep. And yeah, that's an interesting promise, isn't it? That's a promise we actually, we still see happening today in Israel today. People, every countries and individuals that align themselves with the country, nation of Israel, they, we see God's blessing in those countries because of those relation ties there. And I've got the last phrase of verse 3. I've got that as a fourth promise there. And now that may not be a fourth promise, but I've written it down. And it says, in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Amen. So, how are we blessed by Abraham?
The Messiah came
through Abraham's family line. You had your hand. It's so good. What a blessing that we have because of Abraham. God promised through him, through his family line, the Messiah to come. If you go through Matthew chapter 1, and it traces through from Abraham, genealogy to the time of Jesus, to the Messiah. The Lord certainly used Abraham, but he could only use him because he was a man that put his faith and trust in God. And now that promise goes to Sarah too, okay? The promise of the great nation, of the family line, didn't go to Hagar. That was through Sarah that promise was to come about. there was a lot of faith and trusting that these two had to put into God at the time. You know, it was a difficult thing for them. They were getting older in their years. You know, God, they left Ur of the Chaldees. They went traveling to a place where they had no idea where they were going, waiting till God told them to stop. And so when God did, they stopped and they were in the promised land. And you know, some of these promises they got to see, but they didn't actually own them yet. All right, they were in the promised land, but it wasn't their land. They were just dwelling in tents there. It wasn't until the children of Israel came from Egypt that the promised land became the nation of Israel's land. So some of these promises, they only got to sort of taste. They could see them in the future. They could see them coming for them, but they only got to taste. Now he says to Abraham, I'm going to make thee a great nation. And like we just said, that was through Sarah. Now, a great nation, I'm going to guess, is more than one kid. But that's all they had. They only had Isaac through Sarah. Now, again, God gave them a taste of the promise that he'd given to them. And this promise was for a long time after their death. You know, till now, you wouldn't be able to number how many Israelites, Jews are in this world. It would be impossible. But we see God's blessing on them. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says Abraham went and followed God. Don't turn there yet. But when you, faith requires an action from us. And you got to step out and serve and follow. And, you know, God said to Abraham, get up and pack up your tents and head on out. And he didn't give him a destination where to go. But Abraham and Sarah walked by faith and followed and served God, no matter how crazy that seemed, how impossible that seemed for them, but they trusted in God. They put their faith in God, and they were willing to test their faith. They were willing to step and to follow and to serve the Lord. Let me just make sure I wrote this down right. I don't think, no, that's cool. Go over to Genesis 18, please. Sarah put her faith in God. God gave her a son. In Genesis 18, verse 12, Abraham has just been visited by his heavenly visitors. We're pretty sure this is the Lord Jesus in disguise. And Abraham has entertained them. He's fed them. Sarah's gone out the back to make some food for them. And these men go to make a blessing to Abraham in verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, am I waxed old? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? Now, Abraham and Sarah we look at them for great faith. But they made some mistakes along this faith journey of theirs. They really wanted to have this kid. And they were getting older, and it hadn't happened. Abraham ended up wedding Hagar and having Ishmael, and that wasn't God's plan for him. That was not a step of faith. That was, if we would say, that was a stepping back away from the Lord, which God is not pleased with. Here we have Sarah in the tent, laughing in her heart inside, quietly. No one heard it. Just did that like chuckle thing, and she was. I would say this is a moment of doubt in her life. Can God truly fulfill His promise? She was. If I'm not mistaken, she's in about her 90s at this point in her life. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, am I waxed old? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. I just like in verse 15, Sarah's like, no, I didn't laugh. It wasn't me. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. God knows our hearts, and he knows where we're at. And he knows the times that we're doubting and struggling, and he knows how to help us through those times too. God's faithfulness to Abraham and to Sarah, when they even when they were doubting his promises, he was faithful to keep his promises. Go back over to Hebrews chapter 11. You go to Hebrews chapter 11. I'll just read Genesis 21. This is the account of Isaac's birth. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him whom Sarah bare to him Isaac. And Isaac means to laugh. So the Lord does keep his promises. Even he's not restricted like we sometimes think that he is. He doesn't forget what he promises to do. So in Hebrews 11, again, thinking along the lines of examples to the family, Abraham and Sarah, such an encouragement, a witness, a hero that we can mold our lives after. We understand they had problems, they had times of doubt, and I'm not excusing their times of doubt. We don't have to doubt in the Lord. We can trust in him, like they found out. They are an example to us. We see families. I see families, you see families, you might be one of those families that we're not trying to build that example of faith to our kids, to our the people that we have responsibility over. We're not being like Abraham that led his family in faith, step by step, serving the Lord. Go over to verse 8. We're in Hebrews 11. Go to verse 14, or verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now Abraham and Sarah, they got to realize that they weren't going to have 1 million children themselves. That was a bigger promise than they were, than them. That was a long time promise coming. They didn't know that the Messiah was going to come through their line. But they did know that God was going to bless through their family line. So they died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. You know, even though that they couldn't see what was going to happen in the future, they still put their faith in it, and they weren't going to let their faith be moved. They were persuaded of them. They embraced and confessed. They embraced these truths. They confessed that their time here on earth was just a little time. Is in the grand scheme of things, they're going to, as believers, they're going to a different place. They're going to heaven. They're just traveling through. They're pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Now, getting back to what we're talking about in verse 39, verse 38, those that build their faith and continue to grow forward in the Lord and their faith, and those that draw back. Now, Abraham could have drawn back many times. In his, God gave him promises, he could have drawn back. He could have gone back to Ur, where it was safe, where he knew, he'd grown up, he knew where, you know, all the place, all the good grazing ground for his animals, he knew how to make his money, and to, he could have gone back to the world that he was comfortable with. But he wasn't willing to do that. He wanted to step out in faith to follow the Lord. Sarah also, she could have left him. She could have just stayed behind. But no, she was willing to follow her husband, following the Lord, stepping by faith. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They had their minds focused on the bigger picture, on the promises that God had given them. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now, again, we're reading Hebrews 11, the passage of the heroes of the faith that God has given a report about, has commending them of their faith in him, and he wants others to read this and to be encouraged in their faith in him too. But it says here that they're seeking a country, these people in this passage, Abraham and Sarah, they're seeking a country where God is not ashamed to be called their God. Now I get to thinking of the verse that says, where God says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. Enter into thy rest." Verse 38 in Hebrews 10 again says, "Now the just shall live by faith." The just, the redeemed of the Lord, living by faith, being an example of faith to their kids and to their children. Now I get to thinking of people that I've known over time, that Christians, people that have been an example to me, and people that were Christians, were a godly example to me, and people that were Christians and that weren't a godly example to me. And there is that list. Most of us will have that list. But who do you want to be? Do you want to be an example of faith, parents, older teens, young people? Do you want to be living like Abraham and Sarah, serving the Lord in faith, seeking after him in faith, willing to step, even though you can't, may not know where you're going to be, what you're going to be stepping onto, but willing to follow the Lord? Is that the type of person you want to be? Because that's what God says you need to be. The just need to live by faith, trusting and serving the Lord. This is God's commandment. This is his plan for us, for the redeemed. All right, let's pray, and then I'll hand over to who's Will's doing it. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you again for this time. Lord, I just trust that this might have been an encouragement to us all, Lord. Lord, challenge to us that we would live our lives obediently, serving and following the Lord in your ways and your word, Lord. Help us to be like Abraham and Sarah, willing, Lord, to trust in a God that they couldn't see, in promises that they couldn't feel or taste, or Lord, that came many years later, but they were willing still to trust in a almighty and a powerful God. Lord, help us to be like them too, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.